and roll.
It's different. I like rock too.
Yeah. That's what I like, a little Paul McCartney. Dave Grohl.
Nice. Yeah.
Let it play.
Yeah.
That's right, people. Welcome to another show, American Riddle, and I'm sitting in front of the one and only Mariam Tazi in the house.
What's up, Malcolm Riddle?
Aha. Let's hear it. Let's get some energy, Mariam. Come on. You're not that stiff.
I could headbang, but not today. My neck is like.
You'll be all right. Put some heat on it.
I did in the shower, but constant heat would be nice.
No time for injuries. I did the shit with kidney stones.
Yeah, this is nothing compared to that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, people. Thought we'd bring it in hot, heavy, hard. So you like it, don't you?
That's cool. I like that.
It's a good tune.
Yeah.
It's a great tune. I like it. I like it a lot. That's right. So we're back. American Riddle one more time for your motherfucking mind, people. And I'm doing it again. We are doing it again. I gotta hear this part. Yeah. That's how we do it. Spring break is here. You know what I mean? Spring is upon us or right on us.
Yeah, sort of.
Flowers are out, blossoming, blooming. What is it, blossoming or blooming or both? Who knows who it is? But it's doing it. Thank goodness.
It's still not really warm, though. It's like bizarre.
No, it's not. But it's better than snow, and it's better than the rain mixed with snow and all that stuff we've been getting in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., but I'm not the weatherman, so I'm not here to report it. I'm here to talk to you about a couple other things. Oh. On that spring break note, I had the kids over. My son and his cousins, they were over last night. Mm. Bunch of hooligans running around. You know, because when they're on spring break, they're just
happy to be off of school, man.
They're staying up
kidding?
Late, so it was like late at night, and I walked out and just kind of, you know, I was going to say goodnight or whatever. I forget everyone's tired, you know. I was like, yeah.
They're all like riled up still.
Yeah, they were.
What were they doing?
They were looking at rated R movies.
Oh,
late night. That's right. Mm. Pops caught them. You know how you walk by a room, they sit up erect, straight, like they're doing something. So I didn't pay that one any mind. I just kept walking. I was like, what the hell's going on here? Right? One time I walked by. Second time I walked by, right? Motherfuckers are all shirtless. And I'm like, hold on.
What?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, my son was sitting no shirt. It was no more than like 6 or 7 seconds, right? And I'm like, I just kept on. Minding my business, no big deal, you know. Sometimes they want to man dance, you know. You know, you want to wrestle or show your structure.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it gets a little
compare.
Hot.
Yeah, a little
who knows?
Competition.
So, and next time I walk in, I'm like, yeah, well, maybe this time I'll just say goodnight. You know, I see my son, you know. I like to go, when he's laying down, rub his head. Mm. You know what I mean? I kind of like rub it like a ball or something, you know, just like my boy.
My mom used to actually rub my nose. It's weird.
Yeah, so I walk up in there, something was I knew something was rotten in Denmark because they had this look on their face, right? And I look over at the TV and I see what they're watching. I'm like, oh, a haunted house.
Oh.
I was like, and I paused for a second because they were like, they all looked at each other because they knew. I mean, I don't know if the listeners, if you guys don't know, Haunted House 2013. That's starring Marlon Wayans, it's about, I heard an alarm. Mariam Tazi, turn your stuff off.
Sorry.
Make sure my stuff's off. It's about, it's kind of like a play on a parody of all the Haunted House movies. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
I don't know if I saw the commercials for the second one. That's
all right. So
actually,
it's kind of it's a parody of all the haunted house movies and I can't remember the name of the stupid movies. I got podcastitis right now, basically the house is haunted. And he's just doing all sorts of wicked stuff, like masturbating and making love to stuffed animals.
That's the one. Okay, yeah, so yeah. I've seen scenes from it. You've shown me scenes from
it. He does some hilarious stuff in the
movie. Paranormal Activity.
That's it. Thank you.
I just wasn't sure if that was the same one.
Tazi, look at that. Beauty and brains, even with a bad shoulder or back or whatever's hurting
neck.
On you today. So I got, in that split second that they all looked at each other, like, oh my God, he's going to make us turn it off or we're going to get in trouble or something like that. I go, ooh, a haunted house. I was like, funny movie. Funny
cool
stuff.
Dad.
And I just jumped in the bed with all of them. And I was like, oh, this is a good part. We saw, Cedric the Entertainer's in it. And, of course, Marlon Wayans and a very colorful cast of characters in it. I'm not going to go down the list, but you guys
IMDb
get the
it.
Yeah, you guys can IMDb it. It's a funny movie. It ain't right the stuff that goes on in there, but you know what I mean. You remember those times when you would sneak and watch stuff late at night? So what am I going to do? Spoil it? You know?
Yeah, you just joined in. You're like, cool. Let's do this.
I was telling my buddy Bryant X, who's been on this podcast before. I was telling him about it. He was like, yeah, his dad used to come in and ruin it for him. He would touch the TV to see if it was warm. You know what I mean? Back in the day when you had TVs on, you had probably one of the old TVs, the kind that used to come in the, it was like a dresser. So back in the day, for some of you younger folks listening, the one or two with us in the audience, there was a time when televisions did not hang on the wall and were not an inch or two thick. These things were big as a dresser. Mm-hmm. And inside that was a whole speaker system, the whole, TV tube, and the thing usually weighed about 150 pounds. And you could, if you walked up on it and felt it, and it was warm, if your parents felt it was warm, they knew you were up, and you saw them pull up into the driveway or something like that, and, ruined your fun. So aww. I didn't want to do that for my boy, and then I was like, it's a good one. So I made up some other recommendations that they should watch, too. Yeah.
Cool dad.
I don't know. What are you going to do? So I just went back in, continued to watch television myself, and I was doing some channel surfing, which I think offline I talked to you about this. On cable, they have on demand, so I watch a lot of stuff on demand because I'm never, at the crib at the time. I'm not committed. I can't watch but so much.
It's such a luxury now. Might as well use it.
Yeah, as far as television. But I was just listening, and they have these chicks, really attractive. Most of the sportscasters and women on TV are like models, and they're reading from a teleprompter. I get it. And it makes, other, men who watch a lot of television tune in. Mm-hmm. So I saw myself looking at this chick on the on-demand station, and very attractive young lady. Problem is, she can't pronounce the movie the correct way, okay? I think I told you about this. The Hobbit, and I love The Hobbit. Love watching The Hobbit. When it's on, I gotta watch it. It's one of those movies like JFK or The Godfather and stuff like that. When it's on and I'm channel surfing, I gotta watch it. But the way she pronounces this movie, it tears me up. Let me see if I can pull a clip. And I even recorded it because I was like, I got to share this with some people. So let's see if we can. She's doing like a countdown. Let's just see if you notice anything, that's not right with this clip. Let's see. The audio is not going to be the best, people, but let's just see.
At number 5, Meryl Streep and Julie Roberts give Oscar-nominated performances.
So she's doing a countdown.
In Sage County. At number 4, experience the magic of Frozen. At number 3, Ron Burgundy returns in Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. At number 2, Leonardo DiCaprio stars in Martin Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street. And at number 1, Bilbo Baggins' epic journey continues in The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Now tell me.
But a lot of you will say that. Smog.
That's a smog. Is it smug? Smug. The desolation of smug. The desolation of smug. Smug. Sabotage.
Oh, God. Sabotage.
Was that me or is it?
No. No.
Huh?
No, I think that's kind of how you're supposed to say it. I don't know about the way you're saying it, but...
Let's see.
Yeah, but see, it's also like Martin Scorsese. She says it like that.
Bilbo Baggins' epic journey continues in The Hobbit's The Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. She didn't have an accent. She's not from across the pond, okay? You know what I mean? She's not representing the queen.
S-M-A-U-G.
Smaug. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Which wouldn't be the first time, people, as you guys bear witness on American Riddle. You know? And she is a professional, unlike the host of this very podcast. You know what? Mariam Tazi's laughing at me, people.
Well, just look at how it's, yeah.
Let me see.
S-M-A-U-G. It's
Smaug. It's not smog like smog.
Yeah, but I think it's
smag. Smag. Park the car. Smag. Smeeg. Smeg. I don't know, man. I don't like the way she says it. I've even heard hipsters say it, and they don't even say it like that.
I think you have an issue you know what with I mean? Women announcers.
No, I don't, actually. I like them. I like everyone. I like all announcers. What are you talking about?
Sorry.
What the hell? Caught me off guard. Caught me off guard. I don't like women announcers. What's going on here? Let me get back on track. You know what I mean, people? I come into the studio today. I walk in and I had a nice pair of new pants on, and I was feeling good. You know what I mean? I'm not rocking my Dickies. You know what I mean? Usually I'm in some sort of khakis or Dickies or something with the E's. I decided to go with the Roy quarter. Is it corduroy? Right?
Yeah.
Pronounce that right. So I got these cords on, and I roll up in this camp, and something was wrong. I wasn't sure. You know how you're ever in a you put something new on or something you haven't worn in a long time, and you put it on, and you're just unsure. You need one of those full size, really nice, you know, 6-footer mirrors, right? Mm. You know, I don't have one. So I looked at myself a dozen times. Wasn't quite sure, but I still put them on. I was like, you know, they feel pretty good. Look good. They're tan like khakis. You know, it's going to be kind of cool out, so I can still wear.
The same tan.
Right? But I come into the studio, and I'm like, Mariam, I was like, so what do you think of the cords, huh? I was like, rocking cords today. What do you think? Holding it down, still kind of fresh. What do you think? Not so much. They're looking a little tight.
Like a little narrow.
Yeah, narrow. That's the word she used. Looking narrow for a guy, not good. Coming from a woman. Usually, if a woman asks a man, how do I look in this? Just by the rule, you look great. You look, you know, you look fabulous. You look, unless you're just not smart, you know what I mean? But the beauty of it is, people, you have friends out there, people around you. You surround yourself with the right people to give you the right advice. And
too
honesty.
Direct.
That's right. Very honest.
I like that you appreciate my honesty and directness.
I could have just kept it undercover. Maybe she won't say nothing. Maybe everything would be cool.
Well, I
but then
got
you've been,
it as
then
soon
you would have been
you
thinking it.
It.
Yes, right.
So, and I didn't say anything. I was wondering if you would say something.
So one of my rules of thumb is in life, people, is I always acknowledge myself first. Before anyone else has to say something. So if I make fun of myself first or, you know, acknowledge something about myself that I'm insecure about, then it kind of defuses the situation, but not so much in this case. Because she didn't let off, and she was called me narrow. So, you know. Narrow for a woman, good. Narrow for a man, I don't know why that math doesn't work out into a man's
Sorry,
favor.
It was the first thing that came to mind. I mean,
yeah.
I'm used to you wearing a little wider pants, that's all.
Yeah, well, enough about that. That's why I brought an extra pair of pants with me to the studio, people. Who does that?
I don't know.
I do. So that's that. I'm telling you the truth as I know it. I've been busy since I've been on, you know, rest and recovery mode. I've been writing a couple, just been writing in general, and I've outlined a couple of movie treatments.
Cool.
Yeah, it is actually. I've managed to write quite a bit. Just short. A treatment's different than an actual full script. A treatment is just a basic outline. You know, it's kind of proposed to what the script will be. It's sums it up in you know, one half a page to one page to two pages or whatever. But it's ongoing work. The fact is, once you get for those that write or that want to write, the key thing is to, just like anything else, just like this podcast, is to get it out there and get it started. Sorry, I was looking for my water for the past 5 minutes.
Good. Tasty, huh?
God knows, man. And the key is to get, you know, get in the habit of writing something. So I managed to actually put together some things that I find very satisfying to me that I would want to watch. So I've outlined about five different films. And instead of trying to tackle all of them, I'm going to start, you know, narrowing it down to one or two, and just focus on that one project and finish it. But I've been working on that and an American Riddle album, an EP or LP, music mainly.
Ooh.
That's going to be pretty interesting. It's going to be kind of storytelling with hip hop, rap music. It takes you through. You know, kind of a journey through time. I mean, I can't go too deep into it. I've got it all kind of outlined in my head, and I started writing it last night. The actual style of music. I've got kind of think as far as storytelling, it's going to take you to the past, the present, and future within the music industry and hip hop. So kind of think a la Dr. Dre's The Chronic album, where he had other artists on there, mm-hmm. not just him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of other really talented artists out there, like Snoop Dogg on his side. So, you know, or like Carlos Santana does, you know what I mean? So I'm going to bring together and put into a body of work at some point in time and produce this album that takes you through time. And speaking of time travel, the film that the first treatment that I finished is a time travel musical, hip hop.
Oh, it's a musical?
It's going to be, yes.
It is
a work in progress. I'm not going to go too deep into this either. I can't let you guys, you know, don't bite my style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I got to, you know, play this close to the vest. But this is going to be, I enjoy, you know, anyone who knows me knows I love time travel. Anything. You know, any film, any movie, anything that has to do with time travel, I'm signed. I'm on.
Yeah.
Even the bad ones. But the one that I'm writing is going to be more time travel back to the hood. You know what I mean? So it's, there's going to be musical elements in it, put it that way.
Okay.
It's not going to be a full-blown out, you know, musical like Les Miserables. You know what I mean? It's like Russell Crowe will not be in it, and he will not be singing.
Phew.
You know what I mean? So don't worry. I'm not going to put Denzel in there and have him sing either, because if I was a betting man, I would think Denzel can't sing.
I don't know.
I don't want to know.
Unnecessary. I wouldn't want to see.
Marlon Brando didn't sing. You know what I mean? The only one who can sing is Frank Sinatra. That's the rule. That's what I'm sticking with. Don't need Marlon Brando singing, you know. Don't need Denzel. I don't want to find out if Denzel can sing. You know what I mean? We want to look at them.
Yes.
Understood?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, there's that dog again. Dog outside of the studio. This fucking dog. I'll eat it for lunch. So, if you hear that, people, pardon the sound, but that it is what it is. So, yeah, time travel is something near and dear to me. And then I've got a documentary also that's going to take you past, present, and future. It's going to the documentary and a feature that's tied together that's going to take you past, present, and future. That's going to evolve more around Flint, Michigan, and my past, growing up there and some things that went down there. So time travel seems to be a – what do you think?
You're looking
at me crazy.
I'm not looking at you crazy.
It's a lot. My mind's been like just on a roll.
Yeah,
it sounds
like you've been very inspired and just kind of like letting loose. Write it. Just keep writing.
Yeah, yeah.
Get it out while you can.
And like I said, time travel's fun for me. You know what I mean? We got some of my favorite movies, Back to the Future, Terminator, Looper, you know, the more recent ones. Looper starring Bruce Willis, a.k.a. Bruce Willie.
What's that, you know what I mean? ScarJo one?
I don't know.
I forget what it's called.
I don't know.
Look it up real quick.
That's not a time travel. That's an alien movie. It's different.
There's no time in that?
Well, I'm sure there's some time present. those are just to name a few. Bruce Willis also starred in one of my favorite time travel movies of all time, 12 Monkeys.
That's a cool movie.
Ooh-wee! With Brad Pitt, the shit. You know what I mean? That's where Brad Pitt was put on. If you guys haven't seen 12 Monkeys, it's a movie where Bruce Willis is kind of a guinea pig experiment. They send his ass back into time to try to find some cure for some disease that's like killing off humanity or something. But Brad Pitt, that's where it started turning for him in his career, when he started being taken seriously.
Like his choices and stuff.
Where he was no more the pretty boy. And that was that turning point for him. But there's been some overlooked time travel movies out there I want to recognize. We have Kathleen Turner from 1986. Peggy Sue Got Married. You know, I've been talking about this one.
You have been.
I've been talking about this one offline lately. Peggy Sue, she plays a 43-year-old mother, housewife, facing divorce, is thrust back into time when she attends her high school reunion. She goes back in time. She's midlife crisis, in other words. You know, some of us are there. Some of us will get there, mark my words. Somehow she's teleported back into time to see if she can either make the same choices or make different choices. So Peggy Sue Got Married, starring the Kathleen Turner, who was in Romancing the Stone with Michael Douglas. I'm giving you guys a lot of dated references, examples, but still. And Nicolas Cage. And Nicolas Cage I've been talking about lately, too. I don't know why. It's kind of a coincidence. I wasn't going to get into this, but now that I look at it, it's kind of funny to me. And another overlooked one, starting another great female actress, actor, however you want to, whichever way you want to phrase it,
yeah.
Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yeah.
Sliding Doors is 1998.
I remember that
movie. A very good film. Where she also, I think she's having a relationship crisis, and she is going in between parallel universes to see where she compares the choices that she made, and she's able to see how her life would turn out from choice A and B. So two really good examples of great time travel movies. See, my voice is going up now. See that shit?
Maybe it's when you're passionate about something. I don't know if you're doing it.
And I lose breath. We were talking about earlier, I think my voice goes up, people, when I, maybe when I get excited, it goes up, like, ah! You know what I mean?
You talk about film?
It's crazy. Let me bring it down a notch, you know how I do it. Maybe when, you know, it's like the quiet storm. You want me to talk like that? But yeah, two good ones. And then an overlooked TV show, Quantum Leap, starring the great Scott Bakula. Scott Bakula plays Sam Beckett. You know what I mean? You never seen this TV show. Mm-hmm. Why could you have missed it? It's all through the 90s. NBC. Prime time. Right up there
Africa.
With Blossom.
I was in... Oh.
Africa. You saw Blossom.
I saw some of Blossom. Blossom was on for a long time.
So was Quantum Leap. What are you talking about?
It was a dude
about?
Show.
Quantum Leap. You know what I mean? Sam Beckett, who led a group of top scientists in the desert to research his theory that man could travel time within his own lifetime. Unfortunately, in order to save his funding, he was forced.
I remember that to dude enter with his eyebrows.
Yeah. He was forced to enter into his capsule prematurely, and he vanished into time. And then he found himself in somebody else's body every time he was teleported through time.
Yeah, that's when I was in Africa.
And his only contact was through a hologram through this guy named Al, right? I mean, it was a crazy concept, but it worked. So what Sam would do, Sam Beckett, a.k.a. Scott Bakula, he would go back in time, and he would set right things that once went wrong. You know what I mean?
So,
I mean, there was a whole thing on Elvis, I remember, the Kennedy assassination, but he would think like the Kennedy assassination episode. I think he thought he was there to stop the assassination, but what he was there to do was something else within the TV show. And then right when he did it and said it right, he'd get zapped into another portal and he'd show up someplace.
Is it still good today? Like someplace. If I watch it today?
I don't know. It's on, I think it's on Netflix or Amazon streaming or both.
Maybe watch an episode and see if it's
it was,
still
it, was a, it was a great...
at the time.
Yeah, yeah, great show. But yeah, so time travel, of course, has always been near and dear to my heart and fun. That's just the nerd I am. What are you going to do? yeah, I think the documentary I have, I mean, I've already, it's kind of a shame because I've already filmed about 90% of it. Then again, that's going to be featured more on, a story that happened in my childhood that's going to be past, present, and future. And again, we'll flash through time, and it's going to cover... a series of events that will unfold. And I'm going to pair that up with a, and I know I'm going all over the place, people, but this will make sense. At some point in time within the mini podcasts to come, the documentary will be paired up with a feature film that I've been writing. Kind of think Boys in the Hood paired up with a series of twisted and unfortunate events. Within that storyline in Flint, Michigan. So that being said, those are some things I've been working on. So I've been a busy little bee.
That's awesome.
And speaking of twisted and strange, unfortunate events, I'm going to go into a review of the TV show Fargo.
That I haven't gotten to watch yet.
Yeah, I told Miriam Tazi, I've sent her text messages, people.
I'm sorry. I do my homework.
I've done everything I could do to prep her for today's show, and she wanted to make fun of my pants. So she did not watch the TV show Fargo, but I will first set up the show with a quick look at it. We'll take a quick listen to the trailer of Fargo.
What a day.
If that was me, I would have killed that man. If you don't stand up to the boss, the wine, you're just gonna get washed away.
You okay there, Bill?
Wife made spaghetti for dinner.
Seemed a shame to barf it up.
Gambling problem, I heard.
You don't say.
I heard drugs.
I heard he like slept with a 13.
For Pete's sake, Bob, don't spread rumors.
No, I was gambling.
I'm glad my husband's dead. I'm gonna sing at his funeral.
La 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 la.
It's a bit strange, huh?
You think this could be like an organized crime thing?
Give me the money.
Oh, I'm sorry. Scrunion?
I didn't do nothing. I just got home.
Fargo, an FX original series. Tuesday, April 15th.
And that's a quick look at Fargo, a TV show. Just aired on Tuesday night. It shows, the showing times, I can't even get my words together, comes on at on Tuesdays on the FX network. Just check your local say it for me, Miriam Tazi.
Listings.
Jeez. my jaws are too big.
Such a random comment.
I know,
by
it's just because I don't want to say I'm dumb. So Fargo comes on Tuesday nights, and this is the TV show, not to be confused with the 1996 film written and directed by Joel and Ethan Coen, starring William H. Macy and Steve Buscemi and, long list of other great performances and actors. This is, they say it's based on the movie.
I was going to ask you, how is it different?
Well, Miriam Tazi, it is based on, I believe that the only thing that it's based on is the fact that it's in Fargo. It's in Minnesota.
Okay.
That's it. Which I wasn't aware of. This is written, Fargo TV series. This is written, a couple episodes are written by Joel and Ethan Coen.
Oh, Oh, cool.
So they've got their hands in it, which is good to give them, you know,
more credibility and stuff.
Yes, and a good start. Yeah. Ethan and Joel Cohen are both on, I guess, for 3 episodes.
That's cool.
I can tell you the first episode, the television show, stars Billy Bob Thornton, a guy named Martin Freeman, who's excellent in it, Colin Hanks, Bob Odenkirk. We know him from Breaking Bad. He played Better Call Saul, the lawyer for Walter White, a.k.a. Heisenberg. Show respect. Pour a little out for my homie that's not here. Where's my drink? There it is. I'll drink to Heisenberg any day of the week. Fargo, I've already called it an heir to Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
it fills that void. It's great TV. I'm just based on one episode. I can't see it, taking a nosedive. I mean, it just gets better. I think it's going to get better and better. I'm tuning in on Tuesdays. So Billy Bob Thornton, he plays a hitman. Mm-hmm. And he must be the devil's son or the devil's right-hand man, because everything he touches dies. I mean, anything he's around turns to shit, and he influences people within the film. Martin Freeman plays a guy named Lester Nygaard, and he's kind of a buffoon, you know, kind of like the affable salesman who just can't, you know, catch a break. And he's tormented, you know, by his past and present condition, meaning everyone just kind of walks over him, kind of like the William H. Macy character in Fargo.
Yeah.
He's just his wife nags him and puts him down and insults him and compares him to his successful brother. And I mean, it just goes on and on. You just have empathy for this character. You just automatically. You know, it just pulls you in. And Billy Bob Thornton comes into play. And, he's the guy that kind of eggs you on to say, you know, that you have the angel on one side mm-hmm. and the devil on the other side of your shoulder. Mm-hmm. There's no angel on the shoulder. It's just the devil. And he's there and he's like in your ear. And it is a series. The first episode is just how I set it up. It's a series of twisted and unfortunate events that unfold. I mean, it's just one after the other. And you're just watching with your mouth open. Like, what did I just watch? The characters in the film are you can identify with them. They're just it's not like, you know, they're supermodels. I mean, they talk like regular folk. Some of them talk, you know, like morons. You know what I mean? Some of them are bullies. Some of them are, you know, some of them are affable, some of them are likable, some of them you hate. There's just a colorful list of brilliant characters. And, you know, watching it, I didn't read up on any of this stuff. So after I watched the first time, no, I think after I watched it the second time, I've watched it 3 times the first episode.
Already?
Yeah. I watched it 3 times. The second time, I started doing research online. Like, I like to go into movies and television shows sometimes without knowing anything about it. Mm-hmm. The second time I started doing a little research, and that's when I noticed, I was like, because I had that Joel and Ethan Coen style, and I was like, okay, so they did write this first episode, and they, you know, their hands are involved. And that's a good thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And the fact that it's on prime time on television, I mean, some of the stuff that goes down in there.
FX is doing pretty good for some
it's an intense roller coaster ride that doesn't seem to end. And I think coming up on Tuesday, some more characters are going
Sounds
to
like
be.
There's a lot of characters already.
Yeah, are going to be introduced. I think Colin Hanks is going to have a bigger role. He was introduced at the end of the film. And our television show. And then I think Adam Goldberg, a.k.a. The Hebrew Hammer, he's going to be appearing. You know Adam Goldberg from Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Every time I watch that movie, I hate when he gets taken out. My man Goldberg. And he's got to have one of the best Vine pages. I guess you call it a page. Vine
yeah, I guess, I
links know. Or who knows? I'm old. he does some of the... He does some of the best Vines. If you get a chance to look up Adam Goldberg on Vine, check his, what is it? What is Vine? 6 or 7 seconds?
I think it's six. Yeah. I
wonder which one is it. No, 6 or 7. Doesn't matter. He puts together very creative films in well under, you know, the 6, 7 second or 6 second, whatever it is on Vine. Jesus. But he's going to be on, I think, next Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to that episode. But if you get a chance, tune in to...
Okay. To I don't need Fargo. That much convincing. This is, you know...
Yeah, I watched it 3 times in between all the stuff I've been doing. The kids, work. I went to the went to my storage facility where I warehouse...
a lot of stuff. Everything.
Basically everything that you think is your life in a box. It's amazing. It's very depressing to think that you can put all your life in a box in a room somewhere and lock it up and go in it and see it.
It's just your things, though. It's not your life. It's just some of the things of your life.
But it's still depressing for me just because, like, since I've been in this phase, which I've talked about with you people listening, you people, my audience, about the transition that I've been in and just, this evolution and... I keep a lot of stuff in storage, and I went by there to reorganize. I've got some items that I gave away this really nice, beautiful bunk bed to my cousin for her children. Mm. So I'm not using it, you know what I mean? And it's beautiful. I mean, it cost me, you know, like a lot of money for this solid wood and just gorgeous stain on it. Full size bottom, twin top, dresser, mirror, the whole nine. I mean, just gorgeous. Comes in a billion pieces, though, and I couldn't find the directions. And I was looking for them, and I tried for hours and hours on the internet, and because the company that made it, they went belly up, and I couldn't find it. And I was like, I've got it. I save everything. You know, I had the directions to the dresser, everything, and I couldn't find it. I felt so bad, and I was like, well, I'm going to look, because I think I know I have the receipt. Maybe I can look it up by the name. And I was just like... I was very stressed over the past week because I knew they were coming down. So I went early and pulled out everything in my storage and went through every box, everything by myself. And it still couldn't find it, but they were happy. It was really, really nice. Nice that their family came down and their daughter and, it's just nice to help them out. That's what friends and family do. Because all it's doing is really collecting dust right now, and I'd rather see someone use it. And it's strange because I look at that sometimes, and you say, you say it's not your life, but I think about all the moments like my son played on that bed and all that stuff, and when you think, but you just got to let that stuff go. Keep on keeping it.
The moments are still moments, though. It doesn't mean that just because you don't have that bed anymore, that's not. Those moments didn't exist.
Yeah. True that, so, Mary Tazi.
You know.
Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom.
Just it was in a storage. At least you have family members that are going to enjoy it, and they're going to make memories, too.
She's trying to make me feel better because of the narrow comment.
That, too. Mm.
I did that yesterday, and, it's fine. You know, it's not, you're right. At the end of the day, you know, you can't be defined by... you can't be defined by what's in a box or what's in a storage room, you know, because that stuff comes and goes in life. And if you have something and you're not using it, you know, I did the same thing. I gave away a bunch of clothes and to a local church. And, it's stuff that other people that probably need it. And they were very thankful.
Exactly.
And the family members that received the furniture, they were very thankful. So that's cool to see. And,
it's good to do.
Yeah. I'm not thinking of that at the time, but then afterwards you reflect, you know. It is what it is. But speaking of family, on another note, I want to bring this up because, as you guys know, and I've talked about her on the podcast once or twice, you know, I don't have a lot. We don't have a big audience. You know, we have what I consider a family that listens. You know what I mean? And literally a family. My mother listens to the podcast. So my mom did something that I thought was, I had to, you know, think about for a minute because she was very excited and she took a DNA test. She wanted to see exactly, yes, why would you do this? Don't, there's certain things you just don't want, well, you know, you may want to know, but you just want to, you know, I guess she was curious. Maybe she had a lot of time on it. She's got a smartphone now, so she's like, you know, always on the internet. She's listening to the podcast. You know, sometimes I'll be over and hear my voice and I'm like, my gosh, this woman's on a American Riddle podcast-a-thon. And all I hear is my voice. Yeah, but it's great. I appreciate it, Ma. Adorable. So, you know, I appreciate your support.
A true fan.
But yeah, she took a DNA test. And I don't know, maybe she was curious. I didn't ask her. You know, I was puzzled, but I just kind of enjoyed that moment. You know, okay. And so she basically what it does, it breaks down. It sends you a little DNA kit, and you do a swab and all that stuff, and then it sends you back.
Oh, she did a home
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah, cool. And they send it to you or whatever. And then they send you, like, where different parts of the world, where you're from and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool because it broke down the percentage. And it was pretty much accurate of what I've always suspected. You know what I mean? Because you don't really – if you're not from – you know, let's say if you're, I have friends and family, like my son, his grandfather was 100% Sicilian, you know, on his mom's side. So, you know, and they're like second generation here in the U.S. So, like, if you don't have that direct bloodline, you just don't know,
right.
You know what I mean? Especially if you're quote unquote African American, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, if you're watered down like I am, you know, it's, you don't really know. I was talking to this guy at, lost my breath. I was talking about this guy at work and he was telling me about his religion. He's a, how do you pronounce it? A Sikh.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was telling me everything about him and where he's from and, you know, what this, you know, all this, what everything means. And okay. He just knew. He was just boom, 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 boom. And I was, you know, I told him, I was like, I'm quite envious because, I mean, you're looking at a man.
I don't really know.
Well, I have no flag. You're looking at a man. He laughed. I was like, and I wasn't trying to be funny, but I was like, I'm a man with no flag. I'm a man with no country. I was like, you have to understand, I'm African-American. I'm native. Everyone's heard this song before. When you're African-American, you're Native American. But, I mean, we were stripped of all identity. And that's the part that I don't think people really understand. African-Americans sold into slavery, and some by other African, you know, Africans. But that's still the harsh reality of slavery. The Native Americans were massacred, you know, in America. Massacred. My grandfather was 100% Native American, 100%. His father and mother, 100%. Their father and mother, 100%. We belong to the Creek Nation. I mean, that's about as much as I know, but you just don't know what's in between because there's always different layers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when my grandfather married my grandmother, yes, she's African, of African descent, but what's in between? My mom's dad was very dark. I mean, super dark, like night dark, like a struck match dark. Like dark. He's okay. A dark man
okay.
with straight hair. Straight as yours. And you're African. Speaking of African, you're African and you're the exact opposite of my grandfather. You're as fair as the moon. But you're African, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
All right. So we just get that right.
Okay? No, I am.
For the audience.
I'm mixed, but yes. I'm, you know.
I want to get into that too. You're mixed. All right. I have a problem with that, but...
with saying mixed?
We'll talk about that. But my point is, you just don't know. Like my grandmother, my mom's mom, was your complexion. Okay?
Okay.
But she was quote unquote black. You know what I mean? America, the town she grew up in, she's considered black. You know? You know, the way she talked. I don't know if it was the way she talked, the way she walked. I have no idea. I just looked at her as nanny. I didn't know. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, yeah.
You know, my grandfather, we called him Grand. Dark, straight hair. He could do the Tarzan yell. The Tarzan yell. Do you know the Tarzan yell?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to imitate it, but okay. Yes, I know it.
The Tarzan yell. He could do it. When he got drunk, he used to do it all the time. We figured he was from West India or something like that. You know what I mean? We just didn't know. Like, my mom thought he was from West India. It turns out he's from, her background is from some place, I think it was called Togo, mm-hmm. Africa. Yeah, that's the, a majority of her background is European, Scandinavian. It broke it down, like, by percentage. Wow. Yeah.
That's really cool that you can do that.
Well, I mean, they could just be taking her money and then giving her whatever.
Some sort of breakdown?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You never know. You never know.
Unless I just didn't know you could
go
do that. Like
to
that.
The doctor or something like that and see. So, people, what you hear in the background, if you hear it, there's some screaming kids right outside of the studio. Unfortunately, we're not in a position to have a soundproof studio, but it is spring break and it is what it is. So, yeah. I just want to let you guys know that that's what the screaming is. I'm not like, you know, have people, you know, in other rooms and we're torturing anyone.
I don't think anybody was thinking that.
Okay, so back to the DNA. So yeah, it was. I didn't get the brain. I should have made a copy of it and broke it down. But it was really cool to think about. It was really cool to see it. And it was, you know, pretty much everything I thought. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not one of those. I'm not a person that really. I guess I should know more about, you know, my direct lineage. But you know, I'm here, man. I exist in the here.
Some people want to know. Some people
here and now
have more of a need to, you know, than others. But
well, you get asked that. You get asked.
It's like that ancestry or whatever you can do online too. You pay for whatever.
I think that's what it was. It was something like, well, that was different, but it was something similar to that. But you get asked that. I've been asked that my whole life. I mean, if you look at me, I'm very light skinned, I know how I'm looked at. You know what I mean? I know what, you know, I've been around. I grew up, like I said, I've talked about it 1,000 times in the podcast, the 70s. You know, it wasn't a kind time like it is now. The point I want to get into is my mom was talking about this pretty much all evening. And my brother came in at some point and another family member. My sister-in-law, and they were talking about something I just overheard, and I was like, oh, what are you guys talking about, the DNA test, and da-da-da, you know what I mean? I was just kind of making light of it, and my sister-in-law said something about, I don't know what it was in reference to, but the question was asked, you know, well, are you black? And I was like, well, let me just put it to you this way. I'm not, you know, if I fill out a job application or if I fill out anything on a piece of paper that asks me a direct question like that, I always put no. I always put other. I've been doing that for years now. I didn't always do that. I always put black or African American.
I always have a hard time answering those things too. And I'm just,
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. And so when I said this to her, she just put her hand up in the air, like, you know, talk to the hand or whatever. That explains everything about you. Now I know. I didn't know what that meant. Yeah, I did the same thing as you. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, that explains everything. She said it like two or three times. Yeah, I took, you know, shit rolls off me. You know what I mean? I've heard it all. I've had people call me nigger. I've heard people call me white boy. I've had people, you know, I've heard it all from everyone since I've been on this planet. So where I'm at, I was going to say my point. Where I'm at with this is, it never ends. Mm. It never fucking ends with people. Yeah. It doesn't matter who it is, how close you are with them, how much you like them. You're always being judged by, you know, who you are, who people want you to be or think you should be, because of the way you look or the way you dress or walk or who you love,
or the way you know sound, what I mean? Even yeah. You know what I mean?
So it's still mind boggling to me, but you know, the whole point of, oh, that explains everything. Well, what does it explain? You know what I mean? I personally choose not to say that when submitting an application or filling out employment, paperwork, health reasons, I will put, but if it gives me a box to put other and list, just because you have to know for, you know, health reasons, genetics and stuff like that. But my point that I'm trying to make is I don't have to define my blackness to anyone. You know what I mean? I've been doing that my whole life. All right. And what does that mean? I'm trying to figure out what does it mean? Okay. Just based on, I don't go off of what the DNA test says, you know, because like I said, I'm Native American. I recognize my Native American side, my existence as a Native American. People, and that means a lot to me. I also recognize my African American side. I also recognize the many sides, if you know, the European side, the quote-unquote white side. All my life, I don't even know what white or black means. Like, how are you going to define me as a... How is a person defined as color? That doesn't define you as a person, as a human being, right?
No, we're all humans. That right? is what people seem to forget. Right? Is that that's... We are human.
If you look up the definition of black and white, it's changed. At
yeah,
least
African-American, the... Yeah, exactly. An African-American. Yeah. African... And American.
Well, at least the...
I'm
the,
white, but I can be an African-American. I have an African and an American citizenship. Like, I, you know, so, but what do I put on that? Going back to the application.
But what does it
Caucasian
mean? If you look up the
other?
Yeah, if you look up the definition of black and white, it's changed over the past 30 years as far as the priority and the listing of what black and white means. You know what I mean? It's amazing how the dictionary updates itself to be politically correct.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Just gender, for example, what gender you relate yourself to. Facebook has like 40 different genders that you can choose from to describe yourself.
And I refuse to...
And there's an other. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, I refuse to subscribe to one or the other because I'm many things. There's many
things.
But
you don't like mixed.
There's many things that don't that make up Malcolm Riddle, me sitting in front of you. There's a lot of things you can describe me before you say he's black. He's a black MC. He's a black DJ. He's a black salesperson. He's make black movies. What the fuck are we talking about here? He's a filmmaker. He's an aspiring, you know, audio tech. He, you know, has a passion for movie. There's a thousand. Thousand ways you could describe me. He's a jerk face. You could say a thousand things. It's fine before you say black or white. Why do you have to? Why would you put that in? He's a Native American. You don't. This is where we need to be as a society, as a culture, is to evolve that way of thinking. Because we do it for everything. We label people based on color, on a lot of different things. On, like you said, how they walk, how they talk, how they speak, who they love. And you automatically start to judge them.
Yeah, I'll ask a lot of people, like, where are you from? It's something that
That's
I grew
fine.
Up with. Like, I grew up asking that because for us, like, in my family, you know, not being asked that would, because people would judge me by the way I looked, if I wasn't asked where I was from, no one would really understand what I was talking about. They think I was really weird, you know? But then once people knew my background a little bit more, then I was looked at a little differently and people were more understanding or something. So I felt, you know, and it became a habit of asking other people as well because I felt like I should be asked. So it was kind of like a thing, but it's also a strange thing to ask somebody because you ask...
It's personal.
It is very personal.
It's personal. And this is why when filling out paperwork... It's personal. This is why I choose. The past few years, I've made the conscious choice to put that. Because when I'm in a meeting, when we sit down, if I sit down with a professional, if I sit down with a doctor, if I sit down with a specialist, then we can go over that. But far as paper, if you're looking at it, it's personal. Let's just get down to it. Now, as people that I meet in the streets and stuff like that, I've dealt with this all my life. All my life. Okay, so people just come to me and they're just ignorant. Are you mixed? No, I'm not mixed. Look up the definition for mix. Are you a mutt? This is another thing that bothers me. I hear it all day and day. My mother said it. I'm just a mutt. Definition of mutt, a stupid or insignificant person, fool, a mongrel dog, synonyms, airhead, bird brain, blockhead, bonehead, bubblehead, chowderhead, chucklehead, related words, booby, buffoon, fool, goose, loony, lunatic, madman, nut, zany, loser, gawk, featherbrain, scatterbrain, beast, boar, cad, clown, creep, curl, heel, jerk. Yeah, get my point where I'm going with this.
Mutt is not necessarily the same as a mutt, mixed, but
a dog.
Mutt now it just has a...
When you think mutt, what do you think? Dog. You think a mixed breed, right? Right? This equates to a dog. That's almost as offensive as you could get with me. And I've heard it 1,000 times, right? I'm not saying I'm that type of guy that I'm like, you know, I got a chip on my shoulder. Because I'm not. You people that know me, if you're listening to this, you may think that. But I don't have it.
But you don't. It just
rolls off. It's no different than the people that come to me every day. I'm a grown man. And they say, Malcolm. Oh, Malcolm in the Middle. Hey, Malcolm in the Middle. And I hear it 1,000 times, right? How old are we? I think we're just a little bit in. I think with all the technology we have and all the advancements that we have, I think that we are smart enough that we're able to kind of assess what we're doing and who we're talking to, and to be a little bit more careful with our words. I'm not saying that we need to be a society where we should, you know, always be walking on eggshells, because I get it. It's easy to say, oh, you're mixed, you know, but how hard is it for you, like you said earlier, to your point? Where are you from? What's your nationality? You know what I mean? Is that okay? I think that's a little bit better, a little bit more smart.
Yeah, that can be offensive to some people too if they don't know. You know what I mean? So that's also
it doesn't even come up in my conversations. I mean, maybe if I get to know you a little bit better, I'm like, oh, tell me a little bit more about yourself. You know what I mean, or something like that. But you know, I'm more absorbent to what you're doing and what your actions are. Not a big fan of. The mutt or mixed, but it comes up and it just rolls off. It's not a big deal.
I prefer mixed to mulatto.
Yeah, well,
that's something in French too. Yeah, that I've heard too, and I'm like,
I've heard them all.
French too,
and it's not gonna stop. I mean, look, I grew up in a very bizarre time, especially when you compare it today with the amount of freedom that my son has and kids growing up in the 90s. Not saying that racism does not exist. And I'm not talking about just black and white, because it's not black and white anymore. It goes across the board. I see it daily with Asian Americans. I see it daily with Arab Americans. And you know, I see it with white Americans. I see racism inflicted on white people. You know, everyone's taking heat. You know what I mean?
But America is supposed to be the country where it doesn't matter.
Well, America are hypocrites. You have to understand America itself.
I'm glad you said it and I didn't.
America, I mean, you have to understand too, when I started this conversation and I outlined my background as a Native American, you have to understand, the same people that say don't forget 9/11, the same people that say don't forget the Boston bombers,
have forgotten.
I have not forgotten what you did to the American Indians. I haven't forgot what was done to African Americans. Oh, that was hundreds of years ago. Blah 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 blah. Go fuck yourself. All right. Do you think I don't harbor it, and I'm not out for revenge or anything like that. I'm not out for my 40 acres and a mule. But at the same time, I recognize the hypocrisy that surrounds us. You know what I mean? No. If you look at what happened in the 60s and the 50s, I mean, I'm just going to say the 60s alone. It wasn't that long ago. And most of that bled into the 70s and 80s. It's just now that the hoods have come off. And they're suits and ties. I mean, it's that simple. You know what I mean? It's no secret that if someone calls you urban or somebody calls you a thug, that they're basically calling you a nigger. It's no difference. They just know that, again, in this world where we have a society where we do have to walk on eggshells and watch what you say, I'd rather motherfucker just tell me like it is. Straight up, then we know where we both of us stand.
Instead of playing,
because right now on this episode, American Riddle number 65, you know where I stand. You guys listening, anyone tuning in, as soon as I upload this online, you guys know where I stand. But I'm not as aggressive as this may or may not sound. I'm not saying it to and if I can define or you know give explanation, I'm not saying it to be. For my stance to be an aggressive one against the land that which I live. I love America. I am American. My podcast is called American Riddle, okay? Mm-hmm. My ancestors were here, hundreds and hundreds of years before me. So I recognize that. There's a reason why I chose the name American Riddle. But all that makes up who I am. Who I am is not defined by my color, by something called black or white or brown. You know what I mean? Something that can be found in a crayon box. That's not who I am. That doesn't even explain anything. You spend some time with me before you say that explains something, and then you'll know who Malcolm Riddle is, and then it'll start to make sense to you. You know what I mean? Who I am is not someone who is a mutt, okay? So who I am, I'm not mixed. I'm not confused who I am. But this is something that I've lived with as a child when everyone else was getting pizza, when everyone else was going to school dances, all right? I was getting loogies spit on me. I was being bullied. I was being beaten. I was being held off two-story buildings from other white kids, you know what I mean? It was quote-unquote, by quote-unquote standards today, people would probably be in jail. I was laughed at, humiliated, but it's not I just took it, you know what I mean? At the time, it seemed like it happened every day. Maybe it was, you know, every other week or whenever, but isn't once enough? Yeah, you know what I mean? Isn't once one too many times for that to happen to a child, right? Yeah. I'm not, but at the same time, it's not, it is what it is type thing, you know what I mean? It's that saying, it doesn't kill you, you know what I mean? What are you going to do about it? You know, are you going to have revenge? Are you going to have hatred in your heart for your fellow man, for the child next to you because of that? I forgive, but I don't forget. But I do forgive, and I recognize the ignorance that's out there, and I recognize that evil does exist. One of the many things I've taught my son is to not to be naive, be peaceful, but recognize evil, respect evil. You respect it because it's there. And it comes in many shapes, in many forms, and it's there. You have to be aware of it, that it's there. You know what I mean? I was talking to this kid at work the other day, and he's like, yeah, I got my headphones. I'm outside shooting basketball. What are you going to do? You get headphones on, man. What if something happens? What's going to happen? Anything can happen. You know what I mean? I used to run with my headphones on. Now, yeah, no, you can't be paranoid. You got to enjoy your life, live your life. But just be aware, man. I don't want anything to happen to you, young brother. You know what I mean? Be aware that things do exist out there, and it's not all peace, love, and happiness. Now, we're striving to be a society of peace, love, and happiness, and I believe... No, look at me like that. I believe that we are. I believe with each generation, when I take the younger generation, some of the ones that I work with, and the children, like my son's generation, they're a lot different. Their mindsets, what they see... The international community that is that has been growing within our country. I think their generation has with the freedom, it opens their minds and they don't think like the days of old. I don't know what else to say as far as a definition of me as a quote-unquote black man. I mean, I don't think that I should be judged. And I know I will continue to be judged, but I understand what America sees me. If you're 1% black, you know what I mean? If you're 1%, they consider you black, you know what I mean? Which is fine. But I also recognize and respect, like I said, the other parts of me. None of those parts define who I am just based on the name of a color. You know what I mean? Like black to me, how do you define black? Like I've had people say, man, I've heard people say to me, man, you need to be more black. You're not black enough. You're not, you know, who are you, white? You know, I've heard white people have told me, you better get serious and act white. What the hell does that mean? You know what I mean? Kevin Hart, on one of his commercials right now, it's running, maybe it's on the pay-per-view or something, I saw it somewhere, where he in one of his movies where he's yelling at some white kids because they're fighting, and he's like, you're white! You're white. You don't fight or something. Something like that. So you're saying all blacks fight. So this is the stuff that they're feeding. This is the stuff that they're feeding our kids, ourselves. More representation. So you're saying that blacks should do this. It's okay if black people do this, but not. I get the humor in it, and I get comedians. So I'm not that uptight that, you know, comedy kind of exposes
social,
what's out there.
Social comedy.
But this is what a lot of stuff that's getting green lit, whether it's in music or film, that's getting put out there that the majority of the audience sees. Yeah, I'm a little fired up.
I can understand, though. I mean, I've had my moments like that, too. It's a little different perspective, but yeah.
But the definition of black to me is it's found in my soul. It's my spirit. It's what drives me. It's what motivates me. That's how I define who I am. How much I can take and how far I'll take it. You know what I mean? I'll take it to the limit. I'll take as much as you can give. And I won't, to your face, I won't bat an eye. You will not see me. I will not budge. I will not give up. And that's me. That's, you know, that's black. That's real stuff. That is the struggle. That's also Native American. That's American itself. You know what I mean? Everyone's gone through it. That's what defines you. How much can you take? What's inside your heart? Huh?
What? Yeah, I've just kind of come up with just accepting just human, you know.
And I agree.
I think it's just,
I agree.
So that we actually have that in common and everyone can relate, you know, and instead of looking at differences, we are all human, at least, you know, I'm not talking animals, obviously, and all that stuff, but human beings, that's something we have in common. So
it's just, I think we're quick to judge.
Of course.
And everyone's guilty of it. We're quick mm-hmm. to judge based on exterior and not interior.
Yeah, and I feel since I've personally felt like I've been judged a lot from the outside that I've tried to not judge as much.
Well, if someone sees you, they're going to see blonde. They're going to see a quote-unquote blonde white chick, right?
Yeah, blonde white chick with glasses.
Yeah.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not until they get to know
depends
you.
Depends where
they,
I am, though, when it's like, oh, she's French, or oh, no, she's Canadian, or oh, no, she's American, or she's an all-white
girl. No, she's global. Yeah, you're global. You're you have infinite depth of soul, you know what I mean? You have language, culture, you know what I mean? So it's like, but who would know that? Just if someone just judged you based on, oh yeah, that white chick over there. You know what I mean?
Also, don't have an accent too much.
Yeah, but you can speak how many languages?
Five.
There you go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the thing. I just, you know, you try to not do what people have done to you because you know how bad it feels.
And I don't. And I don't. And I haven't. Even when it was almost justified for me to do so. Like growing up, and okay, I grew up in a time where your blackness was defined by how, you know, many things, how you dressed, the way you talked, how big your afro was, you know what I mean? All that stuff was, but it didn't mean anything. It's like my old man used to teach us in the house, and we never could speak broken English. We couldn't say nigger. We couldn't even do that stuff. If we did anything out of the ordinary, we'd have to, Sunday would come along when we were supposed to be resting Saturday and Sunday, he'd get the paper and be like, all right, now pick an article and then I want you to write me we'd have to write a report on what we read, man. That was the punishment. You know what I mean? And then I'd go,
that's pretty cool,
but see,
actually,
what happened was the words that I would use. I mean, now I use a lot of slang, and I'll say dumb stuff like, you know, that, you know how I does and stuff like that. But or I'll say gotta or ain't. Like, we couldn't even use the word ain't in the house. But I'd go out, you know what I mean? And I'm in the public, and I would say this around other black children, and they would make fun of me, and they'd call me proper. You know what I mean? You know, they'd call me nerd. They would call me, you know. So I'd catch it on both sides, you know. The white kids,
yeah,
would call me Lamont from Sanford and Son. And they would call me all these other names. And some kids would call me nigger any chance that they would get. I wasn't black enough it was my Kobayashi Maru. I mean, it was a no win situation. It was Star Trek reference, Marion.
I got that. Thanks.
Growing up in Flint, Michigan, just growing up in the inner city, it was challenging on many levels just because, the same thing. You would have, a struggle with identity there. But one of the things I found out about Flint, Michigan, when you're in blue collar is blue collar. There it is segregated, but at the same time, I found sanctuary amongst a multitude of races, Latinos in Flint, Michigan, from the east side. I found sanctuary amongst Asian Americans, other African Americans.
You don't have to be from the same race to really get along.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough at that time to find each other, and we just kind of banded together and did things together, good or bad. But that's just how it worked out. Growing up in corporate America, black, it was challenging too, because it was a time I started working, I guess, in the late 80s, no, really the 90s. And there weren't many, maybe one or two, maybe NFL coaches. There was no president. That was off the – unless it was some movie in the future, you know what I mean? And there was few movies that you had a black president. It was like some B or C grade movie. But there wasn't no movie back then. You know, that was like
TV show
unheard of.
24.
We're not even a vice president. Unheard of. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Had a couple, some governors and stuff like that. But it was, if you got a position in a company, you had to watch what you did. I was taught. My mentor, one of my best friends, he's no longer with us, but taught me pretty much everything that I know about sales and technique and how to, how white America sees me, the corporate world. This is how they're going to see you. This is the way they're going to. He was white, quote unquote, white, European. You know what I mean? But I never, he would tell me, he was like, all that black and white stuff doesn't mean shit to me. You know what I mean? He was much like me. He just didn't understand it. He said, I'm here for the job. You know what I mean? I'm here for the job. This is my dad's company, and I love my dad, and I want to make him proud, and I want to be there for you guys, and I want you guys to be there for me. Makes no difference to me what color you guys are. We're here to work. We're here to have some fun while we do it and enjoy each other and move forward and grow. And he backed it up. He just wasn't a suit and tie. He would get out there in the trenches, in the warehouse, load trucks. He would do whatever it takes. But he taught me, how the world sees me as far as the way you dress, the way you talk. When you're in a corporate setting, what they're looking for, your posture, your hand gestures, your body language. Shit that, like where I'm at right now, I learned 20 years or before the kids that are quote-unquote teaching me stuff were even born. You know what I mean? It's an amazing thing with the stuff that goes on that I just kind of brush off, and you just kind of, whether it's being in a new work environment with people younger than you or being around ignorant people judging you, you learn to adapt and evolve and better yourself. So like you said, Miriam, you don't do the same to others. What can you take from these negative experiences?
You can only change yourself, you know what I mean? And then if you give that, then people might be a little more aware. But awareness, like you said, actually was very key.
What can you take from these negative experiences and turn them into a positive? What can you take from any negative experience and turn them into something that's going to better not only yourself but others around you? And that's one of the things that I've been fine-tuning is trying to fine-tune, how much time I spend around, quality individuals and spending less time with, others that, you can't just weed them all out. Like I said, you have friends and family. Like I said, it is what it is, and you have to adapt, and you do. And I'm not not guilty of being ignorant myself. You know what I mean? I'm not. And I'm trying to find the better part of me and trying to find the best part of me. And that's the point of living, I think, right? Isn't that why we're here? We're here to evolve. We're not here to take steps back. And so, you know, sorry, folks. I don't mean to get all heavy and deep on you with you guys. But, you know, it's just, you know, my perspective and, you know, just give you a little piece of me and what's going on, you know,
it's
in my
personal
world. Actually. And that's American Riddle. That's what that's why I started this podcast. Told you I was going to be honest with you. Told you I was going to bring you the truth. Told you that this was going to be an evolution, and you were going to hear it all, and you were going to witness it all. Miriam Tazi smiling. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, to quote Miriam, hey, black, white, we're going to go with human. How's that?
I like human.
Human. And on that note,
domino motherfucker.
Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough for you? We're gonna move on up, one by one. We ain't gonna stop until the work is done. Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough for you? We gotta move on up, two by two. This whole world is gonna be brand new. Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough for you? Get along.
I've been around to